Daniel 9, the verses 8 and 9. Daniel 9, the verses 8 and 9. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. So far. Daniel's example in dark times. Daniel's example in dark times. Three thoughts. Daniel's confession of sin. In our text, the Lord has belonged confusion, and at the end we have rebelled against him. Secondly, Daniel's pleading with God. Not his prayer, but pleading with God. O Lord, to us belongeth. O Lord, there is mercies, there are mercies and forgivenesses. He is reasoning with the Lord for mercy. And in the third place, Daniel's faith. Yes, you have to see also in between the lines, he trusts in the Lord. He knows the Lord is merciful and he is gracious and he is the God of forgivenesses. So again, Daniel's example in dark times. Daniel's confession of sin. Daniel's pleading with God. And Daniel's faith in the Messiah. Congregation, about 150 years ago, the ministers began to preach on New Year's Eve and New Year's morning. Only 150 years ago. It was new then. Never practiced before. But I think a good tradition to end the year together with the congregation, to also begin together. And when you do some research on what was preached about those years, few themes stick out. The minister preached those evenings on repentance. We have sinned against Almighty God, and that we must turn to the Lord. Turn ye, why would ye die? Sometimes the theme was about the fleeting times. Things go so fast, they're mortal. The time can quickly come that the hand of God takes us away out of this life, so we must make haste. Sometimes it was about thankfulness, as it is a day to add up, to count our blessings, and to acknowledge the Lord, all his goodness bestowed upon us. So think about that. I thought repentance, that's the theme for tonight, repentance, about Daniel. So, Daniel, who is he? Daniel was one of the princes who was captured in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. And he was together there with the friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were very God-fearing men, not afraid of the king. For example, when their statue was made, children, the statue by Nebuchadnezzar, and to bow before him, they refused. They said, no, we can't do that. Even not if they had to be thrown into the furnace, burning hot furnace, they said no. And they refused to bow before the statue and were thrown into the fire and were arrested them. And you may remember that verse also against Daniel. They tried to catch Daniel in wrongdoing, and they convinced the king to come with a new law that you cannot preach, that you cannot pray to God for 30 days, and Daniel still did. He was a man of the heart of God, a faithful man, faithful in the sense that he was with the Lord, at the walk with the Lord, close to God. We don't even know any sin of him. And this Daniel was doing his meditations one day, his daily devotions. And he took a scroll out of the closet of Jeremiah. Rolled it open. You know, we have books, we have tablets. They had rolled scrolls, and he opened the book, Jeremiah, and he came close to Jeremiah 23, 24, 29. He was reading. He's a God-fearing man. When he was reading, he read something interesting that caught his eye. He read in Jeremiah 29, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good words toward you in causing you to return to this place." So the Lord said to Jeremiah, 70 years in captivity, and then you may come back. So Daniel looked at that. 70 years? Is that what Jeremiah said? It's almost 70 years now. He felt that that's close. So he never realized that the end was coming so close by that he could return back to Jerusalem. So therefore he bowed his knees. See that? He's reading the Bible, and the Bible, the truth, brought him on his knees. You can see it in our chapter. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 2. It's such an impact on him. 70 years, that's close. Going back to Jerusalem, that's awe-inspiring, that's great. And he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God." I don't know about your prayers. You still have the feeling that you don't know what to pray anymore? Kind of, what do I say? After 3 minutes, you're done. I recommend to read the Bible before you pray. To let the Bible direct your prayer. That happened to Jeremiah, to Daniel. He was reading the Bible, and that truth made him pray for what he read. He was praying over the Bible. So 70 years. He could have said, "Okay, that's nice to hear. Let me sit back and wait until the Lord is fulfilling his promises." But no, he prayed. His Lord fulfilled. Lord, I have read in Jeremiah 70 years, that's close. Oh, Lord, come. And then he prays with supplication, prayer, fasting, sackcloth, puts an old garment on, ashes on his head, in repentance. And he prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God." He humbled himself for his greatness, his glory, for his majesty. He felt something of the absolute greatness of God. And he confesses, "Lord, thou art such a great God, such a good-doing God, such a majestic God, such a high God, supreme and holy art thou, and also a dreadful God, a God to tremble for, a God to take seriously, who is keeping the covenant and the mercy towards them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments." And then I just read it a couple of times over. Something caught my eye. He says in verse 5, We have sinned and have done iniquity. And I read it 5 times. We. Daniel, who are you including? You're talking about we? Did you sin against the Lord that same way? Yes, he includes himself as well. Although we don't know of any sin of Daniel in the Bible. He says we. And I thought that's special. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled. We departed. O Lord, to us, not to me, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Not I did or they did. Nay, we have. All Israel have transgressed thy law by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath is written in the law of Moses. We. What do we learn from that? Well, we live in confusing times, don't we? And we so easily say, they. I don't agree with them. There's sometimes even hard feelings. Sometimes we pray for ourselves and the people who have our opinion, and we don't pray for people who don't agree with us. It says we have sinned. So if we would do that tonight, then we include Canada. If you kind of, Lord, it's our country. Thou hast given us a place. With our government, Lord, we have sinned. Not they, we have sinned. Our government, we say we have sinned. We feel responsible. We feel part of Canada. We are citizens or landed immigrants in this country. So we represent the Canada before the Lord. We have sinned. That's what Daniel did. Including our town or towns. Including the street people and the homeless people. Including all the churches. Oh, yes. All of them, yes. To include the Reformed churches as well, yes. To include our school and the care home and the consistory and the ministry and ourselves. But we have sinned against thee, so we bring ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, not only they, we have sinned. That's what the Bible teaches. Don't we also say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? That feeling of communion, the feeling of being together. Also in our congregation, there are people with different opinions, pro and contra, for and against, and sometimes tension and stress. We still pray together. We have sinned. We have sinned. Not they have sinned. We have sinned against thee. And be united in that prayer. Like Ezra was. Ezra 9, verse 6. He said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Our sins. Or Nehemiah. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest heed the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. So it's in the Bible that we, also in our text, although to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Daniel even goes back in time. Our fathers in the past, 70 years ago, have sinned against thee. He prays for them. He confesses his sins, the sins of the country, the sins of the past. He brings it up again. Also, Isaiah does that, 59, chapter 59. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. See? So Daniel confesses his sins and mentions two times Moses, two times the law of Moses. In 11 and 13. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So he preaches the law as well. The law of the Ten Commandments. He said, Lord, we have sinned against thee, not against people. We've sinned against the holy God, the God who doesn't change. His law does not change. And he used all those big words, right? The whole prayer long. The big words like, we have sinned and committed iniquity and rebelled and departed from thy precepts and not obeyed thy voice and transgressed and rebelled. He used the big words. Not we make mistakes and we have weaknesses and we have problems and we feel lonely and we have need of thee. No, he says, Lord, we are the problem. We are the problem. So this last day of the year, we're invited to confess our sins and to say, our family, our people, our congregation, our denomination, our world even, we have sinned against thee, not they. So, therefore, verse 11, curse is poured upon us. The curse poured upon us. All Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore is the curse poured upon us. Not drift, but poured. He said, Lord, we are in such an awful situation. We are in Babylon for 70 years almost. We have sinned against thee. And we confess it before thee now. So although he knows that the Lord fulfills the promises, yet he's asking to do it. He's asking, yet Lord, be mindful of us and be merciful unto us. So I was thinking about the form for the Lord's Supper. At the end it says, everyone say in his heart thus. Remember? Everyone say in his heart thus. And then Psalm 103 is quoted in the forum. Let me say the same thing tonight. Everyone say in his heart thus. Repeat after me. When I say the following verses, repeat after me, in heart. Say in your heart, we have sinned. We have sinned, have committed iniquity, have done wickedly, have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, from thy judgments. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. The most serious verse, I think, is verse 13. Very direct, also for us tonight. As is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. See that? Young people, children, is it you? Yet made we not our prayer. We didn't pray for it. Yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities. That we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. We didn't pray. We're so easygoing. We just lived our lives. We just continued on. Every day was the same. We did not lament and pray, Lord, oh, be merciful unto me, sinner. We just went on and on and on without the Lord. So Daniel is confessing his sins and lays all before the Lord. Daniel's confession of sin. We have sinned. And then secondly, Daniel's pleading with God. Pleading. Why? What prompted the pleading again? Remember, young people? Well, we saw it before. Right? He was reading the book of Jeremiah the prophet. He heard about 70 years that prompted him to plead to the Lord. Lord, do it. But I was promised, I read in the Bible that he could go home after 70 years. Lord, do it. We're sitting in the books. He took that scroll, right? Remember? Let me ask you, do you pray? Or are you always quickly done? And how come? Do you think it has any makes any sense to pray and to lament to the Lord? Does it make any sense to laid out before the Lord in prayer. Pleading is not only begging, not only asking, not only supplicating, it's reasoning. Daniel reasoned the Lord, said, Lord, I think thou should do this because I think it is the right thing to do for God. Why? He's reasoning with him, like some of the children can argue, right, with parents. Mom, Dad, I like to do that. Why? So and so, and they can talk, and they talk with good arguments, and they try to convince Dad and Mom that it's reasonable. And so Daniel is reasoning with the Lord and says, Lord, yes, please do it, because what is he saying? He's reminding the Lord. Reminding the Lord that the Lord has been good in the past. I will show you shortly. And reminding the Lord that he has such special attributes. And reminding the Lord that he has promised things. And reminding the Lord that he's so worthy of it. See that? So the four things at least. Reminding the Lord of the past. Of the attributes, of the promises, and of his honor. Let's go over that. Remind the Lord of the past. He writes in verse 15, and now, O Lord, our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. So, Lord, remember what thou hast done in the past, in Egypt, with thy mighty arm, Lord. And at that time, thou could do it. Thou hast done it. Thou showed strength and power to rescue thy people out of Egypt. So thou art the same God, and therefore thou art still able to do it. So, Lord, do it. Thou art able to do it, God. We have seen it in the past. He's reasoning with the Lord, Lord. There's an almighty God, right? So in that sense, you may pray to the Lord also tonight for forgiveness, for help, for comfort, for conversion, and remind the Lord, Lord, thou art able to do it. I know that because it happened to my dad, it happened to my grandfather, it happened to someone else. Wonders are still happening that people stand in honor and say, how is it possible that a person has changed so much? So remind the Lord. Also, people who remind the Lord of what has happened to you in the past. Say, Lord, I don't forget that time that thou hast pricked my heart and thou hast caused me to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? So remind the Lord of what he did and of his power. Don't just ask, but whine, lament, argue in a holy way, reason with the Lord. That's what Daniel did. Constantly, oh Lord. And one of those things was remind the Lord of the past. Like Daniel, like David did, right? Before Saul. He said, I slew a bear and I slew a lion. And therefore this Philistine will know it. Because the Lord is helping in the past. He's the same still. So Jeremiah is reminding the Lord of the past. He's also reminding the Lord of his attribute. That he is, what does it say in the first verses? That he is a dreadful God. Great God and dreadful God. Verse 4. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. He said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. So he is reminding the Lord of who he is. Lord, thou art great. Not only great in size and great in time, but great in majesty and glory. Thou art such a great, good-doing God. And thou art also an awe-inspiring God, a dreadful God we tremble for. And thou art also a merciful God. and mercy towards them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So you may say also tonight to the Lord, Lord, I've heard that there is greatness in thee, that there is majesty in thee, that thou art able to do those things. We haven't only seen it in the past, we know that thou art great and that thou art a dreadful God and that thou art merciful God. I always like that from Psalm 130. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I think that is such a special verse. What is so special about that? Well, who is talking to who? There is forgiveness with thee. Who is talking? The Lord? No, the sinner is. David, for example, is that David says, Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. So the Lord does not say there is forgiveness with me, but he says, Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. So that's pleading. That is arguing with the Lord in a holy way and reasoning, Lord, putting your foot in the door. Pleading with the Lord. So this last evening of the year, if you have some time, make some time tonight and plead with him. Say, Lord, I've heard tonight about being delivered out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And we have heard about thy righteousness and thy mercy and forgiveness. So, Lord, I appeal upon that. I plead upon that. Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. I heard it and I remind you of that, Lord. You would say, the Lord knows it already. The Lord knows that he's forgiven with him. That's right. But he wants to remind you of it. He likes it when people don't let go. He likes it when people persist and fight. He says, Lord, I don't let you go. That they wrestle with him. He wants people to wrestle with him. So wrestle with God like he's wrestling. Say, Lord, dreadful God, merciful God, think of Egypt, think of who thou art, think of the fact that his forgiveness with thee. So Daniel is reminding the Lord of the past in Egypt. He's reminding the Lord of his attributes. He's reminding the Lord of his promises. The promise of 70 years. Make of that. So he is saying, Lord, I have read myself in the Bible. It's there. It's in Jeremiah 29. I've heard myself. I've seen it with my own eyes. Lord, be mindful of it. That's promised. So if you can find the text in the Bible that refers to your situation, being lost, or whatever it is, you point your finger to it and say, Lord, I read myself. Thou hast promised not to forsake them that love thee. Thou hast promised all things must work together for good for them that love thee. So those promises and bring thee for the Lord. Say, Lord, thou hast said thyself, putting your finger to the Bible. Says, Lord, that's us. What do I mean? And Jeremiah is also, Daniel is also reminding the Lord of his worthiness. I mean, not Daniel's worthiness, but God's worthiness. Lord, thou art so worthy to be glorified and to be served. So that's why he is saying it. For example, in verse 16, and also in other verses, in verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do, defer not for thine own sake. For thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Do it for thy great name, O Lord. Give us an answer. Remember us in thy great mercy. And do so because thou art a worthy God and thou wilt receive the glory of it. So let's remind the Lord of the fact that there was a reformation in the past, that there were revivals in the past, that he is still the same God. Remind him of his mercies, of his righteousness, of his forgivenesses. Remind him of his honor. Like in Jeremiah 14, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee, but do it for thine own name's sake and glory. I always like that example of Moses. Remember, young people? That Aaron had made a golden calf. He had been dancing around it and sinned against the second commandment. Moses came down from the mount, was so upset. And the Lord wanted to kill that people, to just slay them all. And then Moses is interceding as a high priest. And he says, Lord, wherefore? Don't do it. Don't slay us. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, repent of this evil against thy people. So Moses is saying to the Lord, don't slay this people, because the Egyptians will have bad thoughts of thee. They will say, see, God is just playing around with them. He can't really rescue them. He's just making their life miserable. So the Egyptians would say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them. So pleading for yourself, for children, for the church. And could you repeat that as well? Not only repeating after me when I quote those confessions, but also when we hear about the attributes of God and the stories of the Lord in the past, and the honor of the Lord. So I would say, repeat after me, O Lord, hearken unto, defer not for thine own sake. Oh my God. What is it that's bothering you? Is it your salvation? That's the main thing, right? Remind the Lord of his power, of his promises, of his attributes, of his honor. Say, Lord, for thine own name's sake. And put that foot in the door, right? Wrestle with the Lord. That's what Daniel is doing. So Daniel is living in captivity. He was not very happy about that, of course. Although he was working for the king. But he had a deep feeling for the glory of God and for the welfare of the people. And he was reading the Bible, right? He was reading the Bible in Jeremiah, and he was so motivated to pray for that people. So in this last evening of the year that went so fast, pray the Lord and plead with him. Brings to the third thought. First, congregation, did Daniel feel a distance between him and the Lord? Did he feel kind of the Lord is keeping him away from him? He's such a great God, such a high God, such a holy God, such a righteous God. To him belong righteousness, and to us belong confusion of face, to blush, to turn red, to be ashamed. Did you feel distance? Because he said dreadful and great, and he's blushing? Well, in a sense, yes, but not really, not completely. Why not? Well, this whole prayer through, he speaks about our God. Our God. Lord, the Lord our God, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. Our God. So he feels kind of that God is awe-inspiring, but still close by. He still has the highest thoughts of him. He believes in him. He does not reject him. He's not hostile against him. He desires him. And he says, oh, our God, oh, dreadful God, oh, holy God. Like the Lord Jesus did, right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he's also saying, I have great need, but Lord, I yet say our. So the word dreadful is not just being petrified, but it's the highest respect and realizing that God is God and not man. So he is not doubting God's mercy at all. And he is pleading upon God's mercy. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. You see that? So, all of a sudden, in between the other petitions, like confessing his sins, and we have not obeyed, and we have rebelled, this in between, he tucks in, led by the Holy Spirit, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. So he is not only confessing his sins, he's also confessing who God is. He is telling the Lord, Lord, there's mercy with thee, right? With the Lord our God are mercies and forgivenesses. And that mercy in this text is different than from the previous verses. From verse 4, here the word mercy means compassion. There's compassion with God. So he feels, he is kind, there's loving kindness. There's also that heartfelt feeling in the Lord's in the Lord's mercy that is expressed here. And forgiveness, to take all sins away. But I see something special in this verse. I checked it, I thought, is that a mistake? Is that really in the Bible? It says not mercy, but mercies. It doesn't say forgiveness, but forgivenesses. I thought, what is forgivenesses and what is mercies? But it's in the original. In the original, it is in plural. Not just one type of mercy, but many mercies. A plenty of redemption. Fullness of grace. So who is saying this? Daniel. He was reading the Bible, 70 years, almost there. He prayed, he sackled in ashes. He approached the Holy God and with ashes on his head. And he confessed the sins of the people quite extensively. Not obeyed, not prayed, not regarded. And then he was pleading with the Lord, remind the Lord of the past, and remind the Lord of his attributes, and here again, a little bit of the same thing. Mercies and forgivenesses. You know, maybe someone is asking this evening, is there mercy for me? Well, there are mercies enough. If someone is asking, is there forgiveness possible for me? But it is, there are forgivenesses. See that? So there is such an ocean from God's side. There's such a plenty of God's side. That nobody has to doubt if there's enough. because there are mercies and there are forgivenesses. So Daniel was right about that, right? And then Daniel was closed with his prayer. He said, amen, and what happened? And the Holy Ghost, no, Gabriel, the angel, came to him and wanted to speak to him, as you see also in the Bible. And I see it in verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication to the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain, my God, yet while I was speaking prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being cast to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And let me just make a long story short. Gabriel said, he's coming. He's coming. Not long anymore. And you may go back to Jerusalem. His prayer was answered. But there's more. I read it in verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So the Messiah will come. So the answer to his prayer is not only that they may come back, go back to Jerusalem, but the Messiah will come. That's the real answer. We did not expect Daniel to say much about that, but that's the real answer. The Messiah shall come. And what does he say about the Messiah? Very deep. Again, verse 26. You really have a look at that. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. But not for himself. The Messiah will come. And he will be slain. He will be bruised. He will be punished. He will be crucified. He will be killed. He will experience the anger of the Lord. He will cut off. The Messiah will be cut off. But it will not be for himself. To save his people from their sins. See, congregation? That's the real solution. The real solution is not to have some comfort and some happiness in this life and some help here below. But I encourage you this last evening of the year to plead with God, to confess your sins. Just read this prayer for yourself out loud tonight, if you can. And listen to your own voice when you confess the sins. When you remind the Lord of Egypt, when you remind the Lord of his attributes, remind the Lord of his glory, remind the Lord of that the Messiah has come, and the Messiah has been cut off, and not for himself. So Daniel believed that. That was not for himself, but for his people. That gave him the calm in his heart. That the Lord Jesus had come to be slain, not to be born only, not to do miracles, not only to warn people and to suffer, but to die. The substitute. So we live in dark times. And how do we deal with that? We should say we have sinned, right? That unites. We're really nice if we could unite in the prayer. We have sinned. So we are all on the same level. Not one is more important than the other one. One more wrong than the other one. more right, another one. This all united, unite in prayer and confessing our sins, reminding of those four things, and then that looking upon the Messiah, that's life. That would be such a nice ending of the year if you could look upon that Savior who was cut off, but not for himself. So there are mercies, there are forgivenesses, there's plenty of redemption. So we are closing this sermon. Could you repeat after me in your heart? To the Lord, O Lord, to us belong a confusion of faith. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Amen.